Good morning. Good morning, friends. It is just Norm. It is Saturday, December the 19th, 2000. In 15. Good morning.
Morning, how are you?
I'm well, how are you?
Good, thank you.
I had to give the cursory pause when speaking, as I was coming up behind that lady walking, and did not want to startle her. So timing is everything sometimes when you're out here running, and it's a significantly quiet venue. And someone's up ahead of you. You don't want to come running up on them, just blabbing away. You have to use just a bit of tact. Excuse me. But as I was saying, it is December, a week before Christmas. It's a Saturday morning. And I am in my beloved Hammock Park, where the temperature is about somewhere between 45 and 48 degrees. A bit nippy for Florida, but I'm loving it. This is the cold snap I've been waiting for a long time. It's been unusually warm, not just here, but all over the country. I think I've mentioned that in previous offerings, but this is what I'm liking right here. This 40, even 30 would be good. 30, 40, 50 degree weather to run in. There'll probably be lots of sniffling and snorting, and I hope you'll forgive me of such. But the nostrils seem to drain a bit more in this kind of weather. So, anyway, I know, there are some that would mock and taunt my recognition of the cooler temps because they are used to much more extreme temperatures. Hey, puppy. There's a little dog running by me. Well, he just started running along with me like he was my dog.
Oh, yeah.
Like we were running partners. And again, I was coming up behind somebody, and their dog is off their leash, and that dog was behind the person, so that pup started running with me until we got up to its owner, and I had to use the timing tact as I came up behind the gentleman. But yeah, the crisp temps for me are quite welcome. But alas, from what I hear, this weather I'm running in today will only be here for a day or two before Florida temps are forecasted to climb back up into the low 80s this week of Christmas. Up. I hear the fire engine. their station is down the street from here, probably less than a mile. Yeah, it feels good this morning. I'm wearing a pair of shorts. No need for tights. I was going to put on a skull cap, a beanie. I thought, you know, when I do that, I tend to get a little overheated. So I figured once I started running, I'd warm up a little bit, which is true. So my standard head buff. I've got my my undershirt is a cloth, old school favorite of mine, and in big letters across the front it says Grumpy, you know, like one of the seven dwarfs. My three favorite characters are Grumpy, Sleepy, and Doc. So only for the names. Sometimes I'm grumpy. I do like to sleep. And a lot of my patients call me Doc, even though I'm not one. It's funny. Some people get very offended if you call them doctor. And some people don't care. I usually tell my patients I'm not a doctor. And they say, well, you're like a doctor to me. All right, well, let's leave it at that. The best doctor is the great physician, the Lord Jesus. And there's the doctor of the soul. Anyway, I digress. So I've got that grumpy undershirt on, the cloth one. And over that, I'm wearing my long sleeve technical loud red Disney marathon shirt from those days. Hello again. My Disney marathon technical t-shirt from, when was this? Let's look at this. I ran it 2012. I also have on a pair of Nike technical running gloves because the fingers were a bit frosty this morning. I expect those will come off pretty soon, but anyway, it's just nice to break out a little bit of gear that kind of makes it feel like winter, right? I'm not going to go into the extremes of who's the coldest, who's the hottest, who has the best weather. It's just, it's Christmas time, and you know, you just want to feel a little crisp or a little chill in the air. That's all I'm about. No extremes, right? All right, enough of that weather talk. I guess the last thing I would say about weather is I noticed this year, especially this summer, I was very patient about the weather, which I think says a little bit about my development in the human race. I usually go through the summer abhorring it and then trying to grit my teeth in hopes that the fall and early winter will bring the temps I was looking for, but I really made it through the summer quite well without too much complaining about the weather. And then even when the crisper temperatures that I was awaiting in October, November didn't come, I didn't get frustrated or mad about that. Because, I mean, after all, can't control the weather. It's going to happen, right? There's no use getting angry or frustrated about it because it is what it is. Did not get to listen to any of this week's podcasts by my good and dear friend. I don't know how he continues to be my friend, Mr. Carlos Castillo, the running jackal, when I'm not doing my fair share of listening and producing, but I did listen last weekend. I think it was last Sunday, where he was running in some pretty soggy conditions up in the Pacific Northwest. I'm sure Steve Hailstone has a slew of productions out, and rumor has it that JD has an extraordinary wrap-up of the Jeff Galloway half marathon extravaganza that took place in Atlanta last weekend, and I've not gotten to hear it. I did squeeze in 20 minutes of Father Kevin of Gwynn, the Bishop of Benevolence, who put out an unplugged episode on Spreaker, in which he tried to just give us a small flavor of what the weekend was like. But again, paid homage to JD and pointed you towards his podcast for a full, enjoyable episode of that race. And I would encourage you and implore you to do the same. Get to his podcast and get some good stuff under your belt that's being put out. Don't waste your time with my silliness. Because really, that's all I got here is some silliness. One of the other things that Kevin spoke about was how sore he was, and attributed that to undertraining for the race. But I would say, Kevin, that anytime you put your 2 foot down and set out to do a 13.1 mile road race, you probably should be at least a little bit sore, especially since those are not your typical numbers, right? You're kind of like a five-ish miler kind of guy, by and by. And so, stop being so hard on the under-training talk and be more grateful that you had a great time, completed the run, and got to spend good conversation with friends. And there's your dose of encouragement. Excuse me. Sniffling. I feel like I'm bothering you with my sniffling. One of the things I thought about when Kevin was sharing how he was a bit sore was my own particular minor malady, which involves the left lateral aspect, maybe even plantar section by the little toe. If you've listened at all, you know I've been flopping back and forth between my Hokas and my Newtons in an effort to see if I could tease out what's going on with my left lateral. I hate to even call it discomfort. I guess that's the best way to describe it, because it's not pain, it's just like a fullness, swelling. But anyway, when I run in the Hokas on asphalt, which is where I'm going with this, I think partially the asphalt is part to blame, and partially the way the Hoka fits. In other words, I think I need a bigger toe box. I think those two things are contributing to that fullness discomfort. When I used the Newtons, I didn't have as much discomfort in that lateral aspect, but since the Newtons have absolutely, excuse me, nowhere near the cushioning that the Hokas have. My knees were a bit achy after 2 or 3 runs with those. But again, it was asphalt, which is another key factor. So, today, I've got the Hokas back on, and I'm running along the soft, gentle, forgiving topography of the woods of the hammock. And so, my conclusion is that the asphalt is not so much my friend anymore, and as well, it would be wise to stay with the Hokas, in that the cushioning makes my knees feel 75 to 95% better than if I used the Newtons. And as well, that it's probably time to change my Hokas and see if they offer a wider toe box. There, that's my conclusion. And I've had these probably for almost... Good morning. How are you? Runner with some headphones on. I'm grateful I just got a return good morning back. But anyway, I think I've probably had these, I don't know, 6 to 9 months. I can't remember. But it's just probably time to get a new pair. I looked at the bottoms, and the wear is very even. I've not worn them to the outer or inner aspect. There's no uneven wear suggesting any overpronation or supination. So that tells me that the model I picked, plus the addition of my orthotics to go inside of them, is giving me a good stable ride in terms of foot plant, if that's even a running technical term. So in a long-winded way, as is my wont, I told you that I think I need to get some new Hokas. All right? On the home front, I will tell you that my darling Giselle, I think I spoke about this last time, was being evaluated to what's called the gifted program, and there was talk of at least putting her in a higher level reading class, but in a concise manner, I can tell you that they've just decided to go ahead and skip her. She'll start 2nd grade in January. She's been in 1st grade up till now. And they're going to move her into 2nd grade. And the gifted program will still be pending. They're still resubmitting an application for her to go into gifted. And so it's all good. It's been an interesting... I hate to use the word journey, but interesting. There's just a word I'm looking for that's just right. It's been interesting watching her and going through this process because she's very self-aware. She's such a Rosenberg, and I so get her. But she has been eager and proactive on her own behalf in terms of wanting to go into a higher grade, being gifted. I think she likes people telling her how smart she is, and I get that. But you know, she's still only 7. She's a 7-year-old little girl. And so, while by and large, she's looking forward to moving up, just this morning, my wife told me that Giselle was in her room last night getting ready to go to sleep. I had already been to bed and she was crying. And Joe went in there and said, "What's wrong?" She goes, "I don't want to go to second grade because then I'll leave all my friends," which we've been through this with her before. She doesn't want to leave old friends and make new ones, but it doesn't take her long to make new friends. But I get that. I get that she's 7 years old, and the take home for that is, you know, she can be as smart as all you want to shake a stick at, but she's still a 7-year-old little girl. So I think the move is good to put her in second grade. I think that she'll fare well. But I think that's about as big as a jump as we need to make at this point. Let her be a kid, right? I love that kid. I love my family. You kidding me? I love those girls. Dot, dot, dot. Next segment. What to talk about? Well, Christmas is coming, as I said before. Are you all ready? Have you all bought gifts? Are you all celebrating the holiday with the appropriate measure of cheer, celebration, good tidings, and recognition of what the holiday is really about? It's been my goal this year, and excuse me. Of course, I've gotten the girls a couple of things, but I didn't go extravaganza on them, and I don't think they went extravaganza on me, and I'm really happy about that, because of what I want Christmas to be about. Personally, is drawing closer to God. And that's something, that's part of the reason I'm not able to listen to as many podcasts, as I'm more often than not either reading the Bible, going to Bible class, or listening to podcasts by one of my favorite expositors. I think I'm trying to breathe and talk and hiccup and burp and probably should slow down a little bit. It's a walk break. Good time to do that, right? So, his favorite expositor's name is Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. And he was a famous Welsh preacher. Born in the late 1800s and lived till about, I think, 1981. But the way he breaks down one single verse in the Bible and points to the different translations and what those translations tried to convey in thought, both looking at the word in detail, but not getting so hung up on the word that you're not getting the thought that the word is trying to convey, make the scriptures come alive in such a powerful and deep way. So for me, I've been really, really trying to concentrate on where I am in life and how I stand before God. You realize you're talking to a guy raised and born on the Jersey Shore, infatuated with Christmas trees and Bruce Springsteen, now 53 years young and trying to think a little bit more differently about Christmas and life. Still crave the Jersey Shore. Still love to hear "Santa Claus is Coming to Town" by Bruce Springsteen. It's just more in perspective now. When I get home today, I will try to help Mrs. Rosenberg. Oh, there's some gentle babbling. Let's stop and cultivate some quiet and peace. Listen. Oh, just that little babble just calms my soul. And today I'll try to help Mrs. Rosenberg around the house. She's got a bit of a muscle spasm thing going on. I've had it before myself where you just, you know, your right shoulder or your left shoulder is tilted up and the other one's down. It's muscle spasms. There's one side of your, I think your supraspinous muscles that kind of contract, and she's kind of like twisted, and it's really painful for her. She doesn't do the medicine thing that well, so she's kind of trying to ride it out, and she's supposed to work today, but wasn't able to do that. Help her around the house and keep it close to the 667 estate. And then tonight, the New York Football Jets are in Dallas to play America's team, the Cowboys. How about that? Morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Good, man. Thank you.
There was a couple there with their walking sticks and their jackets navigating the treacherous terrain of the hammock. No, I'm just kidding. It's a lightweight park, but I'm a lightweight. But yeah, the Jets and the Cowboys are playing tonight, and the significance of that is that the Jets have been playing respectable football. Now, those of you that watch football might be saying, Norman, these are your Jets. How come you're not ecstatic? Well, it's because being a Jets fan for many, 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 many years, I know that those fellas will let you down by playing silly football or not. Air quotations, showing up, air quotations, for a game. So I'm not going to get too jacked up. Just kind of like when the Mets went to the series, it was measured excitement and not getting jacked up. And that proved well for me. But the Jets could be fighting for a potential playoff spot by virtue of their 8-5 record. Either the Kansas City Chiefs and or the Pittsburgh Steelers are going to have to drop a game or two along the way in order for us to have a shot at a playoff berth. But just as the Jets have been doing, I'm getting ahead of myself, because really all you need to do is to concentrate on the game at hand, and that's the Cowboys tonight. As soon as you start looking past the Cowboys, as soon as you start wondering what the other teams will do, you're sunk. The Jets need to take care of business tonight first, and then attend to each matter at hand. We also, and I'm being realistic here, have had a pretty light schedule. We are 8-5, but we've beaten some really crummy teams, and so I take that into account. We haven't knocked off any contenders, and we've had a very soft schedule. So while I'm grateful we don't have a losing record like we did last year, I'm cautious, and I'm not going to get caught up in all the hysteria. Sound reasonable? Thought it would. looking at wintertime as a potential vacation. I know the girls were thinking about wanting to trek up to Washington, D.C. and see the Smithsonian. And while, hello again, and while that might be nice and fun, I think it's going to be, it would be a pretty tricky feat to pull off to get up there with the four of us and navigate around the city and see all the different Smithsonians and get back home. And I don't even know if that would be driving up there as Mrs. Rosenberg suggested or flying. I talked to a co-worker who said he used to live in Washington, D.C. and when he was younger, he spent a lot of time navigating his way through the sites. And he said it was pretty tiresome. And that's back when he was a young man. So, as an alternative, what I suggested to the girls is that we plan a trip down to Sarasota. Excuse me. Because in Sarasota, there's a college Michelle is thinking about wanting to attend. Called the Ringling Brother. No. The Ringling College of Art and Design. He is, yes, part of that famous Ringling Brother troupe, T-R-O-U-P-E, of Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bailey Circus, but has established quite the art society down there. It's a pretty well-respected college. And as well, down in Sarasota, there's a lot of spots that I've never been to that I heard are just really gorgeous and very peaceful, like Longboat Key, Anna Maria Isle, Egmont Key, Bradenton. So that might be a better vacation. More doable, more practical, more reasonable. And they seemed on board with that. The girls did. I also have a friend on Daily Mile who have kind of extended a couple greeting and salutations to by way of Facebook. His name is Andrew. So, if you listen, Andrew, good morning and hello. But Andrew messaged me on Facebook and said, "Hey Norm, it's me, Andrew, from Daily Mile." So, I responded back, "Hey Andrew, how you doing?" And I friended him on Facebook. And the thing that made me think about that was, I think Andrew lives in Bradenton, Florida, with his beautiful family. Okay, well, I don't know if you can tell the difference in quality or character of the phonation that I'm laying down to you, but I lost power all the way around. When last I spoke with you, I think I was at about mile 3-ish, 2 or 3, I don't know, but my Sony digital voice recorder died. I knew the battery was flashing down at the bottom, but it can usually go a little bit longer after that, but apparently it ran out of juice. So, that's what happened there. And then I decided, well, I'll hush up and maybe put an ending or a closing to the show with the iPhone. And so, in the interim, I turned on James Daly's The Seeker podcast, and I was entrenched in his edge of the seat blow-by-blow account of the Jeff Galloway 13.1 half marathon in Atlanta. And lo and behold, then the iPhone died. Yep, I was powerless. And it felt good, actually. I was truly unplugged for just a mile or two in the heart of the hammock. And, yeah. I guess I'm technically unsavvy because earlier this week, after I downloaded the iOS upgrade to 9.2, I followed one of the tips about battery saving battery power. And I went in and I finagled with a bunch of settings. And I know I changed some settings when it had to do with using cellular data for certain programs. And I wonder if I disabled a cellular data app that then switched to battery power and exhausted the battery. That's what my thought process was. But in any event, I'm back here at the car, and I plugged into the car. And lo and behold, when I plugged in, it's showing about a half battery. So I didn't lose power in the iPhone. It just shut off for some unknown reason. Don't know why. I guess a jump with the power cable restored it back, and I don't know. Again, I'm technically unsavvy. There was some technical difficulty that I'm unaware of the etiology for, but an explanation as to why I suddenly lost my conversation, and also a way to close the show out, because I'm done now. I got 5 miles in here in the hammock, and I'm going to go home and start this thing up. I've got probably 16 miles for the week, and it's the Christmas week, and I'm looking forward to making my way through the world and giving and experiencing good tidings and blessings if possible. So, as you all know, I do love you, and I think you also know that if I got anything to say about it, buckle up here. Safety first, right? There we go. If I've got anything to say about it, we will talk again. So until then, this is Just Norm.